I remember John sharing his life journey story, like a testimony. Rough life. He's been to prison more than he can count. You could see the scars on his face, and he would tell you, he was saying things like, I've been stabbed, I've been shot at, I got my skull cracked wide open. Rough life. As a teenager, he began drinking, doing drugs, and then he got involved with gangsters. In fact, he said, I've done lots of evil things, things that I cannot utter with my mouth. Horrible things I've done to people. And he began to proceed how all that began to happen. Two sources. Number one, his father. Number two, his mother. He said, my dad used to beat me up. It was like his sport. He would come home, get himself drunk. He would call me down, basement, and there we go. My dad beat me up. It gets worse. I saw my dad beat up my wife, called her names, things that a child should not hear. And then he said, my dad sexually assaulted my mom repeatedly. Okay? Now, so friends, just read between the lines, okay? How he gathered all that information. And then he began to say, I remember the day on which my life took on the wrong path. It felt like I was standing on the fork of the road, and I could take that path or that path, and I took this path, and that led me to life of incarceration, life of evil, suffering, harming others. And that day was when he heard his mom saying, John, you're just like your dad. In fact, you are worse than your dad. You are the Satan. He recalls that as a defining moment in his life that took him, sent him to the wrong path and wrong trajectory. Sad, sad story. So friends, why is it that words are so powerful? I mean, it was his dad who beat up on him, beat the crap out of him, but with his mom, it was just all words. Haven't we heard the nursery rhyme? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never break. Not true, not true. Here's how I know. Think of a time. Think of your parent. Think of your mom. Think of your dad. Remember the time when they said that to you, and you remember that after all these years. Think of a time when your child, son, daughter, now grown up, perhaps, they said that to you. Dad, mom, I wish. Remember how that made you feel. Remember the time when your friends, well, so you thought they were your friends. They said that on the Facebook, in the social media, and it was more than just words, wasn't it? I mean, they were words, written words, but the impact was, oh, why is it that words are so powerful? How is it they can shape and cultivate and influence your soul and your heart? I mean, it's just words, isn't it? Just words. That's why I am so glad we are doing this series. It's called 2020 Vision for 2020. Okay? 2020 Vision, get it? 2020 Vision. For the year 2020. We believe that God would have you and us and Mosaic Covenant Church and all the guests focus on the value of Scripture, because in the Scripture, we get to know Jesus. And when you get to know Jesus in His truth, in His grace, in His wisdom, and you heard that word time after time today, because that is one of the key words for the sermon message today. When you get to know Jesus in the scripture, your life will be different. So we've been going through the book of James, and I so appreciate going through the entire book of James because that does something different to all of us. We are hunkering down in this book of James, and we are going through it together, not only here at the big house on Sunday, but also individually by yourselves at home, in your home, but also collectively with one another in your weekly house churches. So we do it together, okay? Now, James, something particular about James. James is one of the books, one of the letters in the New Testament after Jesus, right? Unlike Paul's writing, he is all about grace. His main theme, his main focus is to show you, tell you, give you the grace of Jesus, grace of Christ, which is a gift. Simply this, you don't deserve God's love. You are bad, but since Jesus is good and kind and generous, he takes your place, he dies in your place for your sins, and when he rises again from the dead, from the empty tomb, he gives you what belongs to him, his righteousness, his credit, his good standing to you. So it's a gift, okay? We call that grace. Now, James is not dealing with grace. He is dealing with now then, how shall we live? Since we have received the grace of Christ, the gift, now then, how shall we live? How shall we treat one another? How should we use our words? You see, okay? So, open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3, and we are going to read it together and receive it. Now, in a moment, I would like to invite you to stand for the reading of the word. Now, listen, some of you are not able to stand. Though you are willing, you're not able to stand. So please remain seated. The reason I'm inviting us to stand together for the reading of the word is out of reverence, out of gratitude. Jesus, when he went to his local church, a synagogue 2,000 years ago, as they read God's scripture, guess what he did? He stood up out of reverence for the word, the joy and the gratitude for it, okay? So if you are able, and if you want, please remain standing. Remain seated. Please rise together. And at the end of the reading, I will say, this is the word of the Lord, and you say, thanks be to God, all right? Okay, now, friends, hear the word of the Lord, James 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take chips as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig bear olives or grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. That word again, wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Let's read verse 17 together. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Let me finish off verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Please follow along in your sermon outline notes. It has been proven that if you follow along written notes or write in a note, you will retain the knowledge and the wisdom more and longer. Okay? Throughout the series 2020, Vision for 2020, each week we are teaching you how to meditate God's Holy Scripture. Each week there is a method of Bible meditation. Okay? So last week it was the method of space pets. It's an acronym. Okay? Now this week, the method with which you can meditate on God's word it's called paraphrase it. All right? It simply means, write these words in your sermon outline. Read the verse or passage over and over. So you regurgitate, you repeat, you read it and you reread it over and over again. And then second, think about what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as you read the passage or the verse over and over again, and He will speak to you. And then put it in your own words. This is very important. So write the word, own. Put it into your own words. This is the means by which the word of the truth and grace, this Holy Scripture, is being filtered and processed by you when you write it in your own words. And then, fourthly, search your heart to see how the verse applies to you. Remember last week's verse? Do not merely listen to the words so as to deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Apply the truth of God's grace and mercy in your life. And then lastly, talk to God about it. So pray. And that's in a nugget, the steps of paraphrase it Bible meditation method. Okay? So now do this on your own every day, but do it in your house church or with someone else. And I'll say more about that at the end. Okay. So here's the big idea. The theme and the goal of this morning's message is this. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Please write that word in your sermon outline. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Jesus is saying in His Holy Scripture, your life, your death can be determined, shaped by, influenced by the power of your tongue. What you say, what you speak to yourselves and to one another. Here's the first reason. Number one, because words are powerful. Words are forceful. Words are to be reckoned with. They are more than words. Sounds like a cheesy song, doesn't it? Words are more than words. Here's what James is getting at. Again, I told you, James is not concerned about the grace of Christ. He is rather more focused on how we apply that grace into our daily living, right? So it is considered, the book of James is considered a wisdom literature, like the book of Proverbs. It's wisdom. And that's why we keep hearing the word who is wise among you, receive the wisdom from heaven above, so forth and so on. Here's one from the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let's spend some time there. The tongue has the power of life and death. Okay, we got that. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Interesting. Most intriguing, don't you think? If you love the power of your tongue, which can produce one or two, right? Either life or death. And if you love the power of tongue, you will eat its fruit. It's a double-edged sword. If you love the power of tongue, it can be a blessing or cursing. You recognize its impact, its influence in your life. So you have to choose, will it give you life or will it give you death? Will it be a blessing or will it be a cursing? And whatever you choose, you will eat the fruit of it. Jesus picks up on this in the gospel accounts, Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Friends, therefore, speak less. I have a friend who has gone to this Christian mission organization, and one of the requirements in the training camp was to remain silent for 1 week. My friend didn't pass it. You know how hard it is not to speak for a week? Oh, no. You know how hard? Tell you what, I'm going to make a competition here, a wager. Tomorrow morning, it's Monday, right? You all go to work, go to school, and, you know, do whatever. If you say nothing that is bad, or if you say nothing, okay, don't say anything that will defend yourself. Don't say anything that will make you look better than who you really are. Do not exaggerate. Don't say anything that does not edify, help other people. If you can do that, I will buy you a lunch. Now, here's the time period. From 7 till noon, Monday morning. You have to speak. I get it, okay? But do not say anything that will exaggerate the truth about yourself so that you'll make yourself look better. Or say anything that will, in any way, what shape or form, make someone look worse than they actually are. If you can do that, I'll buy you lunch. Deal? Yes. Now, James gives three metaphors: horse, ship, and a forest set on fire. Okay? Look, your tongue is a very small part of your body, right? Compared to your head, compared to your arm, compared to your legs, compared to other parts of the body, it's relatively small. It is insignificant in terms of size. But in terms of its power, it's, James says, it affects, corrupts the entire body. The whole body is corrupted by your small piece. Three metaphors. Horse. Picture the horse. This horse weighs more than my car. This is one of the strongest, powerful horses in the world, and yet that man can steer this beast by simply pulling on the mouth bit. Get it? The whole animal is steered, controlled by the small, tiny piece called mouth bit. Second metaphor. Ships, large ships. This is the Oasis cruise. Yep, okay. Now, I recommend, if you're ever going to go on a cruise, I suggest choose January. On this cruise ship, you will find not only 4 swimming pools, you will find a garden on which you can play the cricket, right? Okay. This ship also has a basketball hoop.
You can play 3-on-3, 4-on-4. It's got gyms. It's got everything. Now, this is a city, if you ask me, but this big boat ship can be steered by a small rudder. Next metaphor. Forest set on fire. We've heard the news. The devastating fire in Australia. Okay? Or we're very familiar with forest fires here in Edmonton because of Alberta and British Columbia. And every year, forests are set on fire by a small, tiny spark. So it is with your mouth. So it is with your tongue. It's a small part of your body, but it is very powerful. It affects the entire body and entire soul. And that's why, write these words down. Here's the power of your tongue. Words can make or break your self-image. Words, not deeds. Words can make or break your self-image. Your self-image is the accumulation, write that word, accumulation of all the things that you have been that have been said about you by your parents, by your teachers, and by your friends over the years. That's right. How you feel about yourself is not really shaped by what you have done. By and large, how you feel about your self-image, self-confidence, has been shaped by already all the things, the accumulation of all the things that have been said about you by your parents, by your friends, and by your teachers, people whom you think are important to you. I have a friend back in Michigan. You could tell if you met him today, you'd say, okay, this dude has a very low self-esteem. He won't look at you in the eye. He's like coming again now, and he's very soft-spoken. And he says, what do you want? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. That man told me the day on which he began feeling really, 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 really low self-esteem about himself. Grade one. In his class, two of his friends bullied him. And those two bullies made a big thing out of it in front of the entire classroom. And on that day, he recalled, that was the day I felt I am stupid and I am nobody. Something they said about him. This is profound. I got this from someplace else. What is done to you is of very little account compared to what is done in you. Get it? What is done to you is impactful, but what's even more impactful is what is done in you. Think of a time when words are said about your character. It is inaccurate, and yet people believed it, or people now began to question about your character because your reputation is being questioned now. Think about how that felt. And that's why words are so powerful. What matters most isn't what is done to you, but what is done in you. Again, therefore, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's move on. Second point. Words can be poisonous. We get that from verses 7 through 10. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. We who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. I don't want to spend too much time on the fact that, you know, words are poisonous. We kind of cover that. So I want to move on to, well then, how do we deal with this poison? Friends, turn to your neighbor and say, the poison is in you. Say it nicely, though. Say it nicely. Okay? As in, hey, honey, poison, the preacher says, is in you. Okay?
And here is, listen, here is how we deal with the poison that's in us, okay? And I want to give you a sample of, paraphrase it, Bible meditation method right here, okay? Right? So I'm going to read over and over again, verses 13 through, 13 through 16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom, this is verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So, paraphrase it method. I spend time reading it over and over again, right? Okay? And then I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what are you saying? And I write down in my own words what it means, and I apply it in my life. Get it? Okay? So, when I did a paraphrase it method in this passage, here's what I got. Words are poisonous, and they destroy and bring death if they are untruthful or unloving. Right there. Seven verses summed up in one sentence, because I paraphrased it. And that's the thing. Okay? I can't memorize all seven verses, but this, I can, because it's my own words, and it summarizes the whole thing. Words can be poisonous, and they can destroy and bring death. If they are what? Two things, untruthful or unloving. That's the whole thing right here. Okay? So friends, listen, words, let me put it positively. Your words can bring life and bring life if you speak things that are truthful in a loving way. It has to be both truthful. You don't tell lies. You don't exaggerate the truth. You give it as is, but you also do it because you love the person and you say it in a loving way. How many of you know someone who has no problem telling the truth, but they are so mean about it? Oh, did I hit a nerve there? Okay. They are so focused on telling the truth, which is a good thing. But when they tell it, it hurts. It doesn't help. When you tell the truth in a loving way, because you love the person, it hurts. It does. But you can receive it as a medicine. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So be aware of those people who would like to tell the truth, but they don't tell it lovingly, because when they tell the truth, it's not for the sake of the person. It's about them. When they tell the truth, they feel good about themselves. They feel superior. And they have no regard for the person to whom they're speaking. I know someone like that. She's not here. Or, some of you do so well in terms of loving the person and saying things nicely, but you don't tell the truth. Yep. I see one there. Oh, three over here. I'm not quite sure the light is in my eyes. Oh, yeah. You're there too. You don't want to tell the truth. You just want to love the person and say things that will make them feel good. Friends, let me give it to you truthfully, but nicely. You're not really loving the person. You're not. You're more concerned about your relationship with the person. If you really care about the person, you will tell the truth. But you don't want to go there because that's a risk. So what do? You just say nice things. You don't tell the truth. So friends, I just told the truth to you nicely. You don't care about the person. You care about your relationship with the person. In which case, you
you're not loving the person. So two things. Tell the truth. Give it lovingly. Right? So we're half and half. We only do one better than the other. We got to do it both because we paraphrased it. Right? Because, friends, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Last point. So we talked about the power, the poison. Well, what now? Jesus Christ can heal the poison. Write that word. That's the most important word here. Jesus Christ can heal the poison. Verses 11 through 13. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? No. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No. Jesus is being rhetorical. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Okay. Let's go here. Okay. Jesus, so James is paraphrasing what Jesus has said already. Okay. In Matthew 12, this is what Jesus says. Listen very carefully. This is kind of counterintuitive. Matthew 12, verse 33. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. I think I could paraphrase it better than Jesus. You will know the tree by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? For the mouth speaks what is heart is full of. Let me repeat that. Okay. Can we read together from the word for? Okay. For the mouth, okay, one, two, three. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Thank you. Okay. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every word they have spoken. Here, look, okay. Write these words. Get control of your tongue, and they will influence your heart. Right? That's what James seems to have said initially, and he did. Okay? So control your tongue to influence your heart. Get it? But now Jesus is saying the other thing. He is repeating the words of Jesus by saying, ultimately, it's your heart that influences your tongue. Friends, whatever comes out of your mouth comes out of your mouth from what is stored up in your heart. You will know the tree by its fruit. Okay? You don't really control your tongue to influence your heart. That's the world pop psychology. The grace of Jesus is, no. You got to transform the tree. Then you get the right fruit. Don't focus on the fruit. Fruit only tells you what kind of tree you are. So fix, change, transform the tree, your heart. And that's the job of Jesus. He is not about self-improvement. He's about transplants. He wants to transplant a heart in you. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And that's the beauty of it. He doesn't say, Victor, try a little harder. Try a little more. It's like saying to an apple tree, try a little harder and bear an orange. Not going to happen. Jesus says, let me perform a heart transplant in you. Let me give you my heart. Take out the poison from your heart. Take out the evil in your heart by removing the entire heart. You're heartless, Victor, but I give you mine now. That is the gospel. It's not self-enhancement. It is what? Heart transplant. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Okay, let's end with a few applications. Three, okay? Applications, right? Number one. in Romans 10, the Holy Scripture says, if you declare, write that word, if you declare with your mouth, because words have power to choose life and death, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Say with your mouth, because mouth has the power, and believe in your heart, because whatever you say out of your mouth is coming from what is stored up in your heart, that Jesus, God has raised him from the dead, and he died for your sins, then you will be saved. Friends, I don't know your story, but I'm here to tell you, because it happened to me. Jesus can change your heart, thereby control your tongue, your filthy, evil tongue. It stinks. It's poisonous. You know how I know? I have one. Happens all the time. And I keep going back to Jesus. Okay? Number two, practice, paraphrase it, method in your house church. Or your Bible meditation. Hey, I'm so convicted. The Lord convicted me. The Lord put me to shame. He said, stop giving Mosaic House Church and all the guests fish. Teach them how to fish. I'm not going to give you fish no more. I will teach you how to fish. All right? God will hold me accountable. Did you train them how to fish for themselves? Some of you, most of you, are by now should find your own fish in your own Bible without any help. So some of it is my fault. I have conditioned you. I have enabled you to rely on me because that makes me feel good and wanted and important, okay? No more. So fish for yourselves. But do it in your house church or do it with one another. I'm telling you, last week at my house church, we were doing the probit method. Oh my word. We were meditating, you know, doing the Micah 6:8. And friends, I've read that verse more than I can count. Okay? But in our living room, as each person shared their nugget, their insight, it was like looking at a diamond. Okay, diamond has all these different facets, right? So you know what I'm talking about? Come to me tomorrow, I'll give you a diamond. So, diamond, when you turn it, the facet is unique, each and every one of them. And as you turn it, that's the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying? Okay? And that's what happens when you meditate God's word together in a group, in a house church with one another. They give you the new perspective, the new angle, new cut of the scripture. I was so blown away. So I want to thank, you know who you are, my house church peeps. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, they're skipping today. Thank you. All right. Four. Last one. Store a broken relationship with words that give life. This is gonna hit you between the eyes today. Restore a broken relationship with words that give life. You have the power of the tongue to forgive someone who has wronged you. I am not trivializing the offense that happened to you, that occurred to you, that was big, that hurt, that devastated you. I get all that, okay? But Jesus will not let you remain in your situation, in your broken relationship. Jesus will say to you, as I have forgiven you for what you have done to me, now forgive your brother or sister. Restore the broken relationship. Give them life. I'm not saying, Jesus is not saying do it right here, but he will say do it before. Do it before the Lord's Supper. It's called mutual censure. Fancy Latin phrase, mutual censure. Meaning, before we partake on the Holy Supper, the gift, the grace of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, hey, go and be restored in your broken relationship. He said it so poignantly. He says, when you're in the temple court and you're about to offer your offering on the treasury, leave your offering there. Very important. Don't take it with you. Leave it there. Leave your offering there. And then go and make peace with your brother and sister. Then come back and worship the Lord. It's that important. So friends, the Lord Jesus says, not I. If you are not willing to forgive your offender today, do not participate at the Lord's Supper. Wait till next month. That was between the eyes. That's not from me. That's from the Lord. Don't hate the messenger. But it's truth. Let's say it together. Life and death are in the power of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this insight. It's not about tongue control, is it, Lord? It's about heart transplant. And that's why we need you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done for us. You are the only one who has never spoken an empty word or anything that is ungodly. And we receive your credit. We receive your grace now. Now, as we come before you, Lord, we ask that you shape our heart continually, each day, every day, and thereby shaping our tongue. We love you, Lord. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of the heart be ever so pleasing in your sight. Amen.